The scripture is Hebrews 13, 1 through 8, and 15 through 16. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise through the lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Word of God for the people of God.
Perfect. Thank you. And so, as you might notice up here with the South Korean flag, I'm going to be sharing some about my trip. And I'm really excited to be able to share with you, be able to share a few pictures to give you a bit of a, for lack of a better way of putting it, a bit of a picture of what my trip was like and what some of my experiences were like. And you know, it's funny, before I went on this trip, there are a lot of people who asked me, "Jim, why are you going to Korea of all places?" People ask me that a lot. And especially in a time like this, when I think just about every day you got to hear on the news some other provocation, something happening where the nuclear arsenal of North Korea was increasing by the day and tests were happening by the day. And I think, if I was really honest, that there were some people who actually didn't want me to go on this trip, most especially my parents. They were pretty apprehensive. And my mom, too. It took a lot of convincing for her to finally let me go on this trip. But you know what? It was a powerful thing. It was an amazing thing, and I realized that God had a plan for all of us, all 30 of us that went on this trip, this pilgrimage, this experience. And so to me, South Korea is a fascinating place for so many ways and so many reasons. The first reason is that South Korea is about the size of Kentucky, just to give you a point of reference, but it has 1/6 of the population of the United States. And so that just gives you an idea of just how densely populated this place is. And so I understood as I was there in South Korea that it's actually so densely populated that they're actually taking and filling in the ocean with land to create more land there in South Korea. So that's how much they are yearning for more land, is that they're trying to take dirt and fill in the ocean. And they've been successful at this. And they've built some small cities and dwellings by filling in the ocean. And so what's fascinating to me is that 80% of the people of South Korea live in an urban area. And so, Sarah, if you could show the first picture there. That's just to give you an idea of the sprawl of South Korea, that seeing a cityscape like this is commonplace. And this picture was taken from a tower in Seoul. It's kind of like the Space Needle in Seattle, where you can go up to the top and you have a view of the entire city. And so that's what this tower was. And Seoul has about 12 million people. So it's about the size of New York, give or take just a little bit. But you can just see the sprawl that's everywhere. And so in South Korea, you could see technology and the latest of everything everywhere you look. Because after all, South Korea is the home of Samsung, LG, Hyundai, and Kia, just to name a few of the prominent companies that are household names here in America as well, that were founded in South Korea. But you know what's fascinating to me? What's fascinating to me is I talk to the Christians of South Korea, you know who they attribute their success to? You know who they attribute every innovation, all the things that have happened, this foundation? They actually contribute it to Americans. And the reason why they attribute all this success to Americans is because it was Americans who came and gave them the gospel of Jesus Christ. They attribute all of their success because there were a few faithful missionaries who were willing to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in that place. And every single day, they never cease to give us, this group of people from the United States, they never cease to give us thanks for our forefathers coming and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ there in South Korea. But in the grand scheme of history, Christianity is actually quite new to South Koreans. South Koreans have only been introduced to Christianity some 130 years ago. So in the grand scheme of history, that's really not a long time to be a Christian nation in many ways. Before that, they practiced shamanism and Buddhism. And what happened was that Roman Catholic missionaries came from China into South Korea, to Korea. And so the people were so intrigued by what these missionaries shared, they loved it so much that actually they went to American diplomats. Korean officials went to American diplomats and actually asked for more missionaries to come to Korea. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing to me that diplomats actually asked for missionaries to come. And come they did. And so they venerate these missionaries that came. Two missionaries in particular, their last names are Appenzeller. Appenzeller was the Methodist missionary that came to Korea, and Underwood was the Presbyterian missionary that came to South Korea. They were the two Protestant missionaries that came, and Presbyterianism and Methodism are the two largest Protestant denominations in South Korea. Presbyterianism first, Methodism second. And so they attribute much of their success as a country to these missionaries coming. And the reason why is because these missionaries not only shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, but also they came as humanitarians as well. They were doctors who came and provided healing and the latest in medical technology. There were missionaries who helped to start schools all over the country and started universities in the country as well, and gave them technological advances that they didn't know about at the time. And so all of these things attributed to the success of Korea as a nation. And so in the next slide, I want to share with you, this is a missionary cemetery that we toured. And this cemetery represents all of these different foreign missionaries that came. It's a beautiful, well-kept, terraced cemetery because Korea is quite mountainous, and so much of the things are built up, and many things are terraced. And so it was a beautiful, terraced cemetery, and this cemetery was just for foreign missionaries, beautifully kept, manicured, remembering that these persons were the ones who spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. But also in the 130 years of history of Christianity in South Korea, they had been through their fair share of trials and tribulations. In the early 20th century, Korea was actually taken over by Japan. And so up until 1945, when World War II ended, the Japanese were imperializing Korea. And so they had to learn Japanese customs and culture, Japanese faith, but there were underground churches that existed in Korea up until the bombs were dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki and World War II officially came to an end. And it was then that Christianity blossomed. It was then that the opportunity for them to openly express their faith was celebrated, and churches cropped up all over the place. And you know what's so ironic to me is that in Pyongyang, the capital of North Korea, that was actually called the Jerusalem of the East because it had the most churches per capita of anywhere in Asia at the time. How remarkable is that? But then in the 1950s came the Korean War. And the Korean War was a result of a treaty that the Russians would have control of the northern lands of Korea and the United States would have control and kind of oversee the government of the southern lands as they rebuilt. And so as a result of this war between communism and capitalism, there was a war. And so there was fighting back and forth, and there were times in which the American troops and the UN and its allies were able to go all the way up near China. But then once China joined the fray in the Korean War, it pushed those troops back down. And so there was a stalemate. There was fighting back and forth, and it ultimately landed on the 38th parallel. And that border still exists today. And so I was able to tour the museum of the Incheon landing operation in particular. And so, Sarah, if you can go to the next slide here. And so this was one of the monuments dedicated to the American troops that came and helped the Koreans. This was a landing boat as they were going into Incheon. So if you could go to the next slide. And people there venerated Douglas MacArthur. They viewed him as many ways as a national hero. And so for those of you that know a lot about history, I love World War II history and military history. And so this is Douglas MacArthur. They had a commemorative plate, and they also had his iconic corncob pipe there too. And I don't have it pictured here, but they also had his glasses and his iconic hat as well there that he wore all the time. And so they really venerated and respected him. And so throughout that time, it was so amazing for me to experience the fact that, by and large, South Koreans loved Americans. It's interesting to go to a country and to actually feel loved and respected, because in some countries, in Western Europe and in other places, they don't respect Americans quite as much or appreciate them. But in South Korea, they did. It was an amazing experience to experience the love and hospitality that was shared in that place. And so now I want to share with you a little bit about the church that we stayed in. So Sarah, if you can go to the next slide. But before I get to that, I want to share with you what this is. I want to backtrack just a second. One thing that we were able to do while we were there, as I mentioned about the Korean War, we were able to go to the Unification Museum in the border between South Korea and North Korea. So we were actually right on the border, and we got to tour a museum all about the history of that war and that division. And so there off in the distance, that's actually North Korea. I was able to see North Korea, and I'm still here. You're looking at me, thank God. But that's North Korea, separated by a river. And what was amazing to me is that our group, we put together a little worship service up in that observatory. And we prayed for North and South Korea. And we prayed one day that the walls would fall down. That was a perfect song, Steve. The walls would fall down, and that one day they would be united as a nation. That's something that they've yearned for years. And maybe they would all be able to worship and celebrate God together, to be able to grow and prosper as one country governed by one person democratically. We prayed for that nation. Let's go to the next slide. Okay. And so this is a church that we stayed in. It's called Bupyeong Methodist Church. And we were, and this picture is actually taken on their roof, a beautiful steeple, and the place was a huge compound like a hotel. But what was amazing to me was the love and the hospitality that was shared with us. The senior pastor there introduced himself. He had 15 associate pastors along with him. And the people there clapped their hands. They passionately cheered for us. It was like we were celebrities or something like that. But they shared with us tea and coffee and dessert, gave us an introduction, showed us the beauty of their sanctuary with Italian marble and more. It was everything that we could have needed and loved and recognized. They rolled out the red carpet for us. They shared their hospitality. And every single day, they never ceased to thank us for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They shared that from the bottom of their hearts. And what was amazing to us is that we toured a variety of churches in the area. We saw churches in Seoul, we saw churches in Incheon, all over the land. And what was interesting to me is that we got to see one of the largest Methodist churches in the world, and they had 40,000 people in worship on a Sunday. Can you imagine that? 40,000 people, like the size of Salisbury, coming and worshiping in one place. It was incredible. But that's not even the largest church there. The largest church is a full gospel church with 80,000 people there. And we got to experience Bupyeong Church on a Sunday. If you can go to the next slide, Sarah. It was bustling with activity. This is their sanctuary. They had a 200-member choir. They had beautiful and elegant worship there. They had classically trained musicians who performed for us. It was obvious to me the enthusiasm and the love and the joy that was shared in that place. But you know, all these things, I give you all these numbers, 40,000, 80,000 in worship. We got to tour sanctuaries and more there. You know, that all that was intriguing, all that was impressive. But that wasn't the most impressive thing to me. I want to share with you now what the most impressive thing to me was when I experienced South Korea. Every morning at 5 a.m., 800 people would gather together in the sanctuary. Can you imagine coming to church at 5 a.m. every day? Would you do that? Some people have a hard enough time coming on Sunday morning, let alone 5 a.m., 7 days a week. But they did. They came, and they sang hymns of praise. They heard a brief meditation, a brief sermon. And then after that, the people would pray. They would pray for their country. They would pray for their church. They would pray for the world. They prayed for us. They prayed for everything going on in their lives. They started every single morning with prayer. And people were crying out to God. There were tears. There were people speaking in tongues. People jumping up and down, just passionately crying out and praying to God every morning. And it would go maybe for an hour, and people would leave, and people would stay even longer. But that was their foundation, that they spent every single morning in prayer to God. And so I can't help but wonder, why did they roll out the red carpet for us? Why did they share the love of Jesus Christ in such an incredible way with us? Why were they pulling out all the stops? We didn't have to pay for a single meal while we were there. We didn't have to pay for a lodging or anything. And we wondered why. Why would they do this? And the senior pastor shared with us that one day God revealed to him a vision, that he wanted everybody in the world to be able to know what the power of prayer was like in South Korea. He wanted everyone to be able to see that this is what it takes for a church to grow, is to be enmeshed, to be immersed in prayer. And so he's had people come from Manila, in the Philippines, people coming from Brazil, France, all over the United States. People have come from all over the world to hear about the power of prayer in that place. And so what if we were faithful in prayer? What if we were faithful in listening to God's voice? I don't know that it would have to be at 5 a.m., but what would it be like to pray every day in devotion and love and joy filling our hearts? I'm still overflowing. I'm still trying to take all this in. But to me, it spoke volumes about their faithfulness, about their love, about their generosity. And I am thoroughly convinced that it all started with prayer. And so this passage that Gary shared with you this morning, I think, really speaks to this truth. In Hebrews verses 1 and 2, it says, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." And so the Korean people showed us that kind of hospitality because they were faithful to God's call to them. They were faithful in being able to share that this is what God's love looks like in a foreign land, because you came first, America. You came first and shared this, and now we're sharing with you. And verse 7 says this, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." And I believe that we're called to do the same, to imitate their faith in the way that we pray, daily and devoutly and with our whole hearts. Hebrews 13, 15, and 16 says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." So they sacrifice of themselves, giving and doing good for others. When we give, when we do good for others, God is pleased. When we share hospitality, when we share extravagant generosity, we please God in the process. Sarah, if you'll go to the next slide, please. This was a picture of a mural in the sanctuary. I know it's really hard to see, but it's the disciples in prayer together. And the tongues of fire on top of their heads are the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it tells us that everything begins and ends when it comes to our faith with prayer. And this experience thoroughly convinced me of that. Because I think here's the truth of the matter. You can't drink from an empty cup, can you? You can't drink from an empty cup. You can't share from an empty cup. The only way that you can fill your cup is if you pray and connect to God. The only way that you can fill your cup is to spend your days in devotion and connection to the Lord, whether it be in the morning or however the Lord leads you. We must have our cups full to be able to share blessings with others. It must be full of the power of the Holy Spirit. So here, if you'll go to the very last picture, please. This was hanging in their sanctuary, and I believe it to be true. They're committed to go to the world with the gospel. And so that was Bupyeong Church. That's a Korean Air airplane, actually. That's the flight that we flew on, was Korean Air. And that represents the entire world. They're called to go to the world with the gospel. Just as we as Americans went and shared the gospel with them, now they're committed to go out into the world. And actually, South Koreans have almost surpassed Americans in the amount of missionaries that they're sending in the world. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? And I believe it's because they started with the foundation of a full cup. They started with a foundation of prayer, of devotion to God. And so that's my challenge to myself, my challenge to all of you. Church, we have to fill our cups. We have to be committed to prayer. We have to be committed to devotion to God. Because it's in the overflow that we get to share blessings. It's in the overflow that we get to share the living water of Christ. So Jesus has shared with us that when it comes to the power of prayer, that we must go and do likewise together. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I am thoroughly convinced that much too often we go around in this world with empty cups. Lord, we go around in this world with our gas, spiritual gas tanks on empty. So, Lord, no wonder we go around depressed. No wonder we go around afraid. No wonder we go around worried and concerned, because we're empty. So, Lord, help us to know about the power and the importance of prayer, that we should begin our day with devotion to you. We should begin our day celebrating you, O God, calling out to you, crying out to you, asking, Lord, that you would fill us, asking, Lord, that you would speak to us, asking, O God, calling out to you that you would fill our cup to overflowing. Jesus tells us in Scripture that we do not have because we do not ask. So Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to learn these valuable lessons, that if we want to draw the circle wide, if we want to share love, if we want to share hospitality, we can't share from an empty cup. We must be filled, O God, by your Holy Spirit, by your power, by your word speaking to us. Because we give out of the overflow. We share hospitality through the overflow. We share love through the overflow. So, Lord, help us to ask and beseech you that the Spirit of you, O God, would fill us, that our cups would always be full to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we are ready. We seek you. We love you. And we desire to be more like you and your Son, Jesus, with each passing day. And it's in his blessed and holy name that we all pray. Amen.